Welcome to the 180 Podcast. You are listening to a teaching of the 180, a new church committed to learning to love Jesus and love like Jesus. Our prayer is that God would use this teaching to help you grow closer to Him and that you would feel moved to join us in person, where you can grow in community with the larger 180 family.
Bienvenue à la balado-diffusion de l'Église 180. Vous écoutez un enseignement de l'Église 180, une nouvelle Église qui s'est engagée à apprendre à aimer Jésus et à aimer comme Jésus. Notre prière est que Dieu utilisera cet enseignement afin de vous aider à vous rapprocher de lui et que cela vous donne envie de vous joindre à nous en personne où vous pourrez vous épanouir au sein de la communauté qu'est la grande famille de l'Église 180.
This doesn't mean that we impact the effect of someone's behavior on us, or to think you'll always just be able to forgive somebody right away. It doesn't mean that forgiveness will automatically result in reconciliation, which is a whole other complex thing to talk about. But it is being open to how God wants to stretch you beyond how you think you're capable of forgiving someone. When you maybe think of your own questions that you may have about forgiveness, when you think about maybe taking those questions to God, if you thought about like asking Jesus a question, what do you think he might reply to you when you think of a situation or a particular relationship that comes to mind? Where does he maybe want to stretch you beyond what you think you're capable of doing? Maybe it's a relationship where you just feel like you've forgiven all you can, but God is just wanting to push you a little further to think beyond that limit that you've placed. This, I think, just to be honest, is so difficult for all of us, myself included. Because I think, and one of the reasons why is I think our understanding of forgiveness, again, is just so different than what our culture teaches about forgiveness. One of the lines that I think of that our culture often gives us that maybe confuses the idea of forgiveness for us, we all know the phrase, or we know this line, which is forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. It's so common. It's a line that we throw around all the time. I've used it many times before as well. And we use it because in so many ways it actually sounds like such good advice. Like we'll say like, oh, don't waste your time or don't waste your energy on that. Just forgive and forget. Forgive and forget is this line that we just throw around, but it's not really what the Bible teaches. And more importantly, it's not really or it's rarely ever that simple. Because while forgive and forget might work for a situation where maybe you have to forgive a stranger for something small that you know you're just never going to see again, forgive and forget becomes much harder when it's somebody that we're going to wake up with the next day. Or becomes much harder when it's somebody we have to go and work with again and again. Or when it's somebody that we have to see at church the next week. Not that any of us wrestle with that here. It's much harder when it's a real relationship that we're working out regularly with another person. And more than that, I think while forgive and forget is used by all of us with such good intentions, but for us, because without realizing it, it can become a substitute for real forgiveness. It can become a way to kind of just bury hurt or to even avoid the pain of a situation just so you can quickly move on, but actually never really heal in the meantime. Missing that real healing and real forgiveness often takes time. And it often takes intentionality and even sometimes requires bringing things back up to the surface in order to process that in a more meaningful way. When I think of this, as you know, like one of the things that we do or one of the courses that we run often at the church, Peter talked about it last week, is the marriage course. We do that every year, and I took it for the first time with my wife a couple years ago. And if you've taken the marriage course with us, you'll know that one of the chapters that they, or one of the weeks they do is like entirely devoted receiving God's forgiveness and his message that your mistakes no longer define you. They're not how God sees you because he's a God who's moved with compassion for you. For all of us, the first step in learning to forgive others is to choose to receive God's forgiveness for ourselves. But what comes next now in this parable is this moment now that's so shocking because it's going to reveal that this servant, even though he's been forgiven by this master, he's not really let that change or impact how he treats other people. This is what happens next. It says, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 silver coins. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe, he demanded. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, Be patient with me, and I will pay it back. Sound familiar? But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. Isn't that crazy? Like, in so many ways, this story actually mirrors what just happened between this servant and the master earlier. But now for this servant, it's like the situation is flipped around. It's reversed. And it's about how now he's going to treat a servant who's in the same situation as he was. And I think if we're honest with ourselves, when we look at this, if Jesus hadn't like begun this parable by telling the first part, like if he just only started with this part, we feel like the servant's reaction would be reasonable. You ever thought about that? Like, it actually kind of, if you take away the first part, this kind of makes sense. Like, at least for me, this is probably how I would have reacted if somebody owed me this kind of debt. And the amount that this servant owes this other servant isn't an insignificant amount. Like, it's actually still a lot of money. So it feels like this servant is justified. Like, at the time, it would have actually been worth a few months' wages. And so, again, how this servant reacts feels like it actually makes sense to us. But now that we know the first part of this story, when you compare it to what the first servant owed the master before, it completely changes your perspective on this whole story. Suddenly, the debt of this second servant is like laughable compared to the debt of the first servant that he had with his master. One kind of like silly way I think of this when I think about like how different these amounts were is I think about like times where we've done an Easter egg hunt for my daughters and like they're doing the hunt and they find an egg and then they start fighting over who found the egg first or like someone like sneaks one from the other basket and eats it and like for them it's like the biggest deal and meanwhile like Jasmine and I, my wife and I, we love like Cadbury mini eggs so much that we have like 3 bags in our cupboards that we could just give to them anytime. Like, meanwhile, they're just fighting over one egg, and they've lost the perspective on what we have for them. When I hear and when we hear this parable shared in the way that Jesus has shared it, and we compare those debts, now it's so shocking to us that the servant wouldn't show the same mercy that he was showed when you compare his debt to this servant's debt. Jesus like flips this story on its head by putting things in perspective to help us to see things as God sees them through his eyes. At the heart of this story is also this real warning for all of us that it's possible to receive God's forgiveness, but then never let that change your heart to show forgiveness and mercy to others. It's a warning to each of us that we all feel that at times we are all like this servant, of how easily we can experience God's compassion and God's forgiveness for us and towards us while our hearts can remain hard to those around us. It's a warning that we can even like sing of God's mercy and speak of God's love and God's forgiveness while at the same time we remain unmerciful to others. It's such a challenge to all of us, this parable. And as we learn to be honest and maybe just even wrestle to kind of have God's perspective on this, I want to just share one perspective, like one practice that kind of helps any of us with this. It's that maybe as you just take the time to pray with God and he brings to mind like maybe a relationship or a situation or someone where you're like, you're genuinely wrestling to forgive somebody. As you're praying about that, actually ask God to remind you of the things that he's forgiven you for in your life. Just take some time to reflect on the things that he's forgiven you for before you then pray and ask for his strength and his help to help you see that other person with those same eyes of how he wants you to forgive them. This practice of showing one another the kind of forgiveness that God first shows to us points to just this such an important principle that Jesus actually talks about at the end of this parable. And this is how he continues. This is how the story ends. He says this. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said. I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master handed him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother or sister from your heart. Ouch. Is that crazy? Like, what do we make of this? Like, Jesus is really not messing around here. Now, I want to just mention something about parables, again, that I think is really important that like might help you, that actually tripped me up for a long time, especially when I came to a parable like this, is that when Jesus tells a parable and he uses stories and characters in from the parable, there's actually a limit to how those parables work in order to kind of fit with the story. So not every aspect of this story or aspect of these characters can literally be applied or perfectly translate to what God is actually like. So Jesus is using like this exaggerated picture to make this point. And so he's not painting a picture of God who's violent or God who's like waiting to seek revenge on us. He's not saying that if you don't forgive others, God will like refuse to forgive you or that he'll somehow take back that forgiveness from you. But he is pointing to an important truth that there are like real spiritual consequences to refusing to grow to be a kind of person who forgives others. That in a sense, it's almost like this feeling of being tortured. And the most helpful way that this was explained to me as you look at this part of the story was to think about whether your heart is open or closed. That's maybe a more helpful way to think about it. Whether your heart or the servant heart is open or closed. That when you open your heart to God, to how God wants you to practice forgiving others, then God's forgiveness, in a sense, flows through you. But when you close or harden your heart or you withhold forgiveness from other people, then you're also, in a sense, closing yourself off to experiencing God's forgiveness in a deeper way. One image that I thought of as I was thinking about this week that might help you is to think about the idea or the image of a dam. Everybody know what a dam is? If you've seen one in person, you know how they work. If you think about how a dam works, it's this idea that like they can either be open or closed to either let water through or stop the water. And so maybe a helpful way to think about God's forgiveness and your own heart is to think about God's forgiveness as like a river that never stops flowing towards you. It never stops and it never runs out. But then to also think of your heart as a dam that you could either have open or closed. That when you close it, you're actually keeping God's forgiveness from flowing in and through you to other people. But when you open it, sorry, I didn't want to mention when you close it, when you do that, it's almost like withholding something from God. But when you open it, not only does God's forgiveness flow through you, flow in you first and through you to other people, but you know if you've seen how a dam works that even this happens slowly at first, as the water flows through, it really picks up in speed and in power. And we think about the power that a dam has when it's open to let the water through, but also the power that it has to close the water when it wants to. God doesn't just show us his forgiveness to us in a way that just stops with us, but it's actually meant to flow through us to one another. And we can either have our hearts open to that or choose to have our hearts closed to that. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about this principle, I think about the amount of times I've seen this work out in my own life. That when I'm closed to like refuse even to think about forgiving somebody else, then because of that, I'll experience like anger or bitterness or resentment. But when I open myself to somebody else or to what it means to practice forgiveness, to ask for God's strength to do that, then I experience like a sense of more, having more patience with them or having more compassion that God wants to move through me. Or I actually even experience more of God's grace for myself in a deeper way as I share that with somebody else. The word forgive that's used in the Bible actually comes from this Greek word that actually means this idea to let go. That's what forgive means, to let go. It means to stop holding on to something that you have against someone and to open your heart to allow for what God wants to do both in and through you. As we begin to wrap up, I want to end actually now by going back to this verse from Ephesians to read it again for you and see for yourself if it has kind of like new meaning now that we've gone through this parable and looked at it together. This is what it says. It says, instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as through Christ, God through Christ has forgiven you. One of the key signs that you've really learned or grown in forgiving someone else is that you can approach them with a posture of being kind and tender-hearted towards that person. It doesn't mean that you're condoning their behavior in any way or even minimizing something that they might have done to you. It doesn't mean even just going back to how things were or that your forgiveness will automatically lead to reconciliation, which is, again, much more complex. But it does mean that you're able to speak about them or think about them or even pray for them with this heart that's soft towards them, because you're learning to open your heart to God's forgiveness and to ask for his strength and his power to flow through you to that other person. This reminder that Paul gives to this church to grow and to be committed to forgive one another is so important because, again, for Christians, forgiveness is never just a one-time thing. It's something that we're meant to take seriously and practice and make it actually a whole new way of life as we think about what it means to be a new people together, as we think about our relationships with one another. And so as we wrap up, I want to end by actually just maybe asking you to close your eyes and to just think about these questions that I want to bring up again. One question that maybe is for you today is, what would it look like for you to make forgiveness not just something you do, but something that you practice daily? Or where in your life or in your what relationship is God asking you to open your heart again to the power of his forgiveness? Maybe it's to ask for his help and his strength to forgive someone when it feels like you've done everything you can to forgive. That he's just asking you again to let go of the bitterness or the pride or the anger or the resentment that you've been holding on to. Maybe it's even to receive his forgiveness for you for the first time as a step of letting him transform your heart and how you approach your relationship with other people. To trust that when Jesus tells you that there's no debt or no mistake that's too big for God's mercy for you. Because he is the God who's moved with compassion for you. He's the God who can transform our hearts and our relationships to show kindness and love and mercy to one another. So as we wrap up, I want to actually invite you to stand. I want to stand together as we pray together. And I want to mention if you know something in this message like brought to mind a particular situation or a relationship, we have a prayer team and a prayer space in the corner who would love to take the time just to pray with you before you rush off. They're like so sensitive to what you might want to pray about. They're confidential. If you just want to take a time to just quickly pray with them as a first step. But I want to invite you as we just pray together to do something that Christians are often called to do, which is an outward sign of actually like an inward thing that we're just inviting to God to do in our hearts, which is actually to open our hands as a sign of just opening our hearts again to God. And so if you're comfortable, would you do that? Just close your eyes again and we'll pray. God, we thank you that you are the God who loves to forgive us. No matter our debt, no matter how impossible it is for us to ever earn that back, that you forgive us and you love us freely. That your forgiveness is like a water flowing towards us that will never stop and that will never run out. But help us as we think about just difficult relationships in our lives or situations where we all struggle, like really struggle to forgive. Would you help us by giving us your strength in that situation? Would you help us to live with open hearts towards others? That we would experience more of your grace and your forgiveness, not only for ourselves, but in such a way that we would experience the freedom and the healing and the joy of letting that move through in and through us to forgive those around us as well. We want to be that kind of community and that kind of people who embraces the gift of your forgiveness in this way. But we need your help. And so would you work in each of us as only you can work? And would you just keep reminding us of just the incredible way that you have forgiven each of us? Would we live that out every day and as we go from here? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, thanks so much, everyone, for joining us. Just a couple of things I want to mention before you go.
want to mention that we really hope you can join us next week. We're taking communion together. This is a special way of continuing to learn what it means to grow with one another, to be shaped by Jesus' ways. And I want to mention too, Katya mentioned this at the beginning, but maybe you missed that. We will have our picnic later. And so if you're new or your first time hearing of it, you could still grab something, bring a lunch to join us. We don't want to cancel. There's a chance of rain. I don't know if it is raining now. It could be. If it does, is raining or it starts to rain, we will kind of cancel it. But we do want to kind of gather as best we can. And so we hope that you can join us for that. Otherwise, we'll see you next week. Have a great week, everybody. See you.